funny, but I would say that my father, who's in the Baptist church just recently, was at the house, and they were talking about they're getting a new preacher. But he says, we need to go back. My dad had said this. We need to work on having elders and deacons rather than throwing it all on him. And I thought that was kind of stepped me back a little bit. What? Where'd you get that from? So maybe he's been reading about it. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Kind of interesting. Okay, chapter 30, the gospel. We're going to move on. The gospel. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read 1 through 4 here. No, 1 Corinthians.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll wait till you get there. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now I make it known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I have delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. Look what he says here. There's five things he mentions here. He says, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast, or a lot of them may say, keep in your mind or memory, the word which I preached to you, some versions say that, unless you believed in vain. So they were preached, they received, they stood on, they were saved by, and they kept in their mind this gospel in which Paul was talking about. This death, this burial, this resurrection. Mike made a good point in here, because he was confused at this point. He says, how do I obey something that is a historical event? How do I obey something that's a historical event? How do I do something that Jesus did? I think we've talked about this once or twice before. So how do we obey a historical event? This historical event, I should say. Something that Christ did. This death, this burial, this resurrection. How do we obey this? How do we get saved by this gospel? I bring this up because this is something that is probably going to be asked to us if we're studying with somebody. This will help us with an answer. Dave, are you about to say something?
I was going to say, let the Bible answer the question. Go to Romans 6.
Go to 6. Let's go to Romans 6. Go to Romans chapter 6 real quick. Romans chapter 6, 3 through 7. I'll read it. Or do you not know that all of us... I think I've read this before. This sounds kind of familiar. We've read this quite a few times, actually. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in the Christ have been saved, or have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. This leads us into the next question, and I read this because this takes us into chapter 31. Remember, he went to the comedy show. Who read that chapter? Chapter 31, where he and his wife went with another couple to a comedy show. And they got right up there in the front, and they were sitting in the front there, and it was in 1988, and the comedian was Tim Allen. Remember the comedian Tim Allen? What show was he in? What's that?
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement, yeah. He was
Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing, yeah. Kind of funny. What's that?
Hogs 2.
Hogs also, or Hogs 2? Hogs also, okay. Then there was a second show or something. So they were sitting there and they were having a good time. What was going through his mind was what he finally came to the realization of. Randall was studying with him, and God's word revealed himself to him, to Mike, and he saw the light, so to speak. That this is where we obey the gospel. This is what taught him, and this is what showed him what he needed to do to obey the gospel, and it all made sense to him at this point. It was like, I think he said, it was like a light went off. But now he had decided to go out and went to this comedy show, but he was fighting this in his mind. Why do you think Mike was fighting against obeying the gospel at this point? He hadn't obeyed it yet.
Family,
maybe, yep.
Pride? Change of lifestyle.
Change of lifestyle?
How he was brought up.
What's that?
How he was brought up.
Okay. I think the change of lifestyle was the biggie if you look on into the book. He had to make a lifestyle change. He said that he couldn't, this is what he said in his words, he couldn't give up the beer drinking or the materialism anymore. Or he had to give it up, but he didn't want to at that point.
Which chapter?
That's chapter 31.
He said that he was running from God.
Well, it may have been later on. I don't think we've gotten to that point yet. 30, I think it's coming up in the next couple chapters, so.
Okay,
yep.
Sorry.
Nope, you're getting ahead, but that's all right. We're getting something to look forward to.
Obviously, to this point, he doesn't think it's necessary.
Okay.
I think in each chapter I've tried to pick out what is the most important thing that was said here.
Okay.
And when I look at chapter 30, I'm now thinking, what is the most important chapter that we've read to this point?
Okay.
I've come to the conclusion that chapter 30 is that one. I think chapter 30 is the one that...
That's definitely the pivotal point in the book for Mike. Yeah, I would agree. Now, your comment was, I don't think he thinks it's necessary. I don't know if that's... I'm going to disagree with you. Can I do that? He probably thinks it's necessary at this point because he did say the light came on and it all made sense to him. But I think it's coming down to this. It's a lifestyle change that he's going to have to make. Possible. Yes, who had their hand up? Dallas.
I could relate to him when the light came on. I can remember exactly the moment in my life when the light came on. And it was, you know.
Yeah.
So I can relate to him. And I'll bet you can too.
I
bet you can remember what the light
We
came.
All probably could.
Yep.
Not those of us who just grew up in the church from little tiny right on.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I take that back. So coming from outside the church and the life I lived prior, this guy right here was Ron Mitchell, in all honesty. He was Ron Mitchell. Except I lived in Colorado and California, not in Nashville. So it's funny how you read this stuff and it just kind of hits some people. But Lifestyle change is the biggest. And growing up, now I don't want everybody to throw things at me. I was not a very nice guy back in the day. I wasn't a good guy. I was a nice guy, but I wasn't a good guy. I was the partier. I was the running wild type of guy. I was a lot like him. And when somebody's baptized, it doesn't change like that. Not always. It's tough. It's a lifestyle change. Any other comment? Yes, sir.
One of the things that Michael said, kind of an observation he made, as opposed to necessarily being led into it by Randall, it's actually, you know, some processing thinking on his part, is comparing Satan's statement to Eve as recorded in Genesis 2.
Change one word. Or added.
Adding one three-letter word. Yep. And he said he's done the same thing to Mark 16:16.
Boy.
And it was not necessarily a moment of clarity, but he's actually, you know, growing spirit or in his understanding of what's required and what condition he's in, you know, up until this point, maybe not this exact observation, but up until here in the book, in this point in his life, he's believed that baptism was not necessary for salvation. And I think that, like I said, I think the light has finally gone on.
Yeah, it's
in this chapter that what he's been taught was wrong.
Yeah, when he used that,
would you say,
what's that?
Analogy.
Yeah, when he used that, I'd never thought of it that way. And, well, let's look at this real quick. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, this is where the serpent said to the woman, okay, let's go back here. Let's start in chapter 3, verse 3. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. So it said that you shall die, but you shall not eat from it. But then he went on to say, then the serpent added the knot in there. Okay, so let's jump over to Mark 16:16. Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. I've heard this so many times through my family that, yes, but he doesn't say if you are baptized, you shall be condemned. Or not baptized, I'm sorry. What did I say? Baptized? Okay, sorry. He who has believed and shall be baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. He didn't say anything about baptism. He just says, if you disbelieve, you shall be condemned. I've heard that so many times growing up. And you see how Satan can take verses and do this to them, twist them a little bit to make us believe something. Just like he did with Eve. He added one word, not. And you go back to, and today we're affected by it even still through baptism. And people will believe that lie right there. So keep that in mind. You might come across that if you're studying with somebody that will bring that up. Always, a lot of this stuff we all know, but it's good to kind of know some ends and different directions coming in when you're studying with somebody to show them the scripture. Okay, any others? Why do you think Mike thought that God did not want him? At this point, Mike was saying, look, God doesn't want me. He doesn't want me. I don't want to answer it for you. Why do you guys think that? Or why did Mike think that? Sorry. You remember reading that? It was going through his mind. He was sitting there at the comedy show, and he was thinking about it. Ah, God doesn't want somebody like me. I remember thinking that to myself, to be honest with you. Stuff like that. I have lived too sinful of a life from the past. There's no way. Well, he didn't believe he could be forgiven, he mentioned. He didn't think he could be forgiven. He didn't believe that he could successfully repent. He mentioned that he can successfully repent of his existing sins. I thought that kind of a little bit myself back 20 some years ago. Were you going to say something, Dave?
Yeah, it's not brought up in the book here, but if you think about it, like Romans 5:8 or 8:5, where it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Yes.
He didn't wait for us to get our act together before salvation was available to us.
Right.
Because it would never happen if God waited for us to get our own act together all by ourselves.
Right. Right. Esther?
I think the example, too, of Paul. I mean, you think about it, Paul not only was killing Christians, I mean, he was seeking them out and all that type of stuff. And
yeah.
It, not only was Paul converted, but he wrote a lot of the Bible.
Yes.
Or the New Testament.
Yeah, if we stop for a moment and rank sins, if we want to rank sins, killing people probably up there at the top. Yeah. We tend to rank sins. A sin is a sin in God's eyes, but we humans rank sins. Out killing somebody, and you make a good point, because that crossed my mind. I never killed anybody. I haven't killed anybody. Got a couple kids every now and then. I wouldn't. Oh, wait. They act up. No. But you know, I look back and I thought about that, and he was forgiven. He was forgiven. I never did anything that bad. So, but again, I was ranking sins. So, okay. He also mentioned in there he could not live a Christian life. He didn't believe he could live a Christian life. Sorry. He did not believe he could live a Christian life. So how did Mike try to prove to God that God did not want him? You remember that? Mike tried to prove to God that God didn't want him. What did he do?
Drink.
I'll give you a hint. Yeah, he was drinking. Remember they were sitting there and he said that I'm going to get the next two rounds of beers at the table. And he said that God doesn't want me. I'm too sinful. So he just kept on going and going and going. But he ran, he drank enough. What happened that night? What happened? You remember the ride home?
He had to throw up.
His wife was really mad at him. She didn't drink, but his wife was very upset at him. And he kept saying, "Honey, pull over, pull over." Or no, he needed something. He said, "Honey," and she was mad. "What? What?" He says, "Will you pull over?" "Why?" "Because I'm going to get sick." So he ended up getting sick. He drank too much that night. So let's look at 2 Peter. I'll read it. Let me just read it. 2 Peter 3:9. Sorry. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance." He wants all to come to repentance. When we study with somebody, may come across where somebody says, "He doesn't want me. And my past sins, I've done some bad stuff. He doesn't want me." But he says, no, he wants all to come to repentance. Change that life. Keep that in your mind this week, too, as you go through the week. I think that was one of our verses on our homework, so to speak. Ed, have you been doing your homework?
Some of it.
We're going to put him in the corner over here. Okay, That's the end of chapter 31. Next week we're going to move on to 32. I've got about three more weeks left. Who's taking over after me in 3 weeks, Walter? Ed's taking over. That's right. Hey, and you're doing the sacrificial system, huh? Now listen, if you haven't been here for Wednesday nights, if you're missing Wednesday nights, and he just ended Wednesday nights. I don't know, I think Walter's, who's doing Wednesday nights? Just started again. Walter is. Come Wednesday nights, but Ed had a class, and it was a good class. And the classes are good. Ben had done Corinthians, we went through Corinthians. If you're missing Wednesday nights, come. This is part of learning and learning the Word. There should be no excuse that you're not here. There's nothing more important than being here. Be here. All right. We'll see you guys next week.